We had lost so much.
We lost the light.
We lost the argument.
We lost love.
We lost life.
We lost God.
We lost Jesus.
But this morning we find
the tomb empty.
The morning bright.
The stone rolled.
The disciples running.
The gardener appearing.
The women proclaiming.
The resurrection transpired.
And Jesus risen.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of the Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us, who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord.
We shall not die, but we admonished me sorely, but he did not hand me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them. I will offer thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. He who is righteous may enter. We shall not die, but we shall live, praising the works of God. I will give thanks to you. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. On this day the Lord has acted. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We shall not die.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. And then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting there where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Early in the life of the church, our ancestors in faith had questions. They had questions about the resurrection. There were things about the story that they wanted to know, that they wanted to reflect on and try to understand. One of the questions that they had was what was going on from the time that Jesus was taken off the cross and buried until this morning when he appeared to Mary Magdalene. What was happening then? What was he doing? This question was compounded by the fact that the story says that she looked in and saw the linen that would have lain over his face rolled up and set aside. In other words, intentionally. Like Jesus got up with a purpose. He got up and made the bed and went to work. What was he doing? What was the intention of that time when he got up from the tomb? What was happening? As many of you have heard me say before, when one of my favorite lines in all of Scripture is that wonderful line, supposing him to be the gardener. Because he is. He's the gardener of a new creation that is brought about by this resurrection. And in this story, Mary Magdalene is the new Eve, just like Jesus risen is the new Adam. What's the new creation like? What's that about? So many questions. Early in the life of the church, there was a bishop, a second century bishop of the city of Sardis named Melito. Melito was much respected as a bishop. Other bishops asked Melito his opinion and sought out his teaching. Melito even took a position on what should be the date of Easter that was different from what finally the councils of the church decided, but nobody thought that that made Melito a heretic. And they still sought out his advice. Melito understood the crucifixion and the resurrection as all of a piece. There are lots of folks I find in the world who think that Jesus came and he lived, and they sort of don't talk too much about what he did while he was alive. And then he died, and that paid a price for our sins, and then he got rewarded for doing that by rising. This is not the ancient teaching of the church. The ancient teaching of the church is that everything from his birth, his life and ministry, his death, and his resurrection were all one action specifically designed for God to love us and gather us in. It's important to remember that. This is all one action. It's why in the church we talk about not the meaning of the crucifixion, but the mystery of Christ's dying and rising. Because it's all one action. And what Melito taught, and what many of the earliest Christians found, was that the crucifixion itself was yet one more piece of the work begun at Christmas. That God's creative word became flesh and lived a life like you and I live. He was born, he lived and ministered. We're born, we live, hopefully we're out there ministering. And we have to die. So he died too. Christ went everywhere we have to go, from the best to the worst. And then he rose. And that rising is like taking us out of the depths of Hades, grabbing us by the hand and pulling us out. It's important for us to remember that great sweep of action whereby God integrates our life, our living and dying, into God's own life. I like the way Melito says it. Let me find it for you here. When this one being Christ, when this one came from heaven to earth for the sake of the one who suffers, and had clothed himself with that very one through the womb of a virgin, and having come forth as a man, that's the incarnation. That's the Christmas story. He accepted the sufferings of the sufferer through his body, which was capable of suffering. And he destroyed those human sufferings by his spirit, which was incapable of dying. He killed death, which had put man to death. This is the Lamb that was slain. This is the Lamb that was silent. Melito describes in hushed tones the mystery of Christ taking on the fullness of human life and the fullness of human experience, including death. Now, part of the reason why I'm talking about Melito today is because then he goes on to describe the resurrection in a most powerful way. And I decided to talk about Melito because our children are leading us today by singing at communion time an anthem of words by Melito of Sardis. So pay attention. But he describes the resurrection as Christ going into hell, like going into Hades, like it was believed everyone did then, going into Hades, but being the creative word of God, and therefore bursting the bonds of Hades and coming out from hell. If you have a chance today, I invite you to come over and look at the icon in front of the ambo here. I put an icon there related to the season of the year, throughout the year. That is the icon of the resurrection. And it shows Christ standing on the broken down doors of hell, over the pit of hell. And he's grabbed Adam and Eve by the hand and he's pulling them out of their tombs. And if you look closely, you'll notice that Adam is barefoot. And the story that goes with the icon is that Jesus grabbed Adam and Eve and yanked them from death into life with such force that he pulled Adam right out of his shoes. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? Imagine Christ yanking you from death to life. Also, when you look at the icon in the pit, you'll notice a whole lot of little twisted, bent pieces of metal. Those are the locks and the hinges of hell that Christ has torn open. It's a powerful image. It's based on an understanding of Christ having taken on our whole human experience, including the dying, and going into death itself and tearing open the doors and yanking us from death into life. It's a powerful, powerful understanding of all that Christ did for us. And Melito, when he switches from describing the death in the hushed tones of the Paschal Lamb, he switches to loudness. I love loudness. I'm a loud person. I like loudness. He switches to that. The Lord, having put on human nature and having suffered for him who suffered, that's us, and having been bound for him who was bound, that's us, and having been buried for him who was buried, thus, is risen from the dead, yes, loud, and loudly proclaims this message. Don't ever stop loudly proclaiming the message. Loudly proclaims the message. Who will contend against me? Let him stand before me. It is I who delivered the condemned. It is I who gave life to the dead. It is I who raised up the buried. Who will argue with me? It is I, says the Christ, who destroyed death. It is I who triumphed over the enemy, and having trod down Hades and bound the strong man, and having snatched mankind up to the heights of heaven, it is I, says the Christ. That's what the resurrection means. So then, come here, all you families of men, weighed down by your sins, and receive pardon for your misdeeds, for I am your pardon. I am the Passover which brings salvation. I am the lamb slain for you. I am your lustral bath. I am your life. I am your resurrection. I am your light. I am your salvation. I am your king. It is I who brings you up to the heights of heaven. It is I who will give you the resurrection there. It is I who will show you to the eternal Father. I will raise you up with my own right hand. Powerful. Powerful statement by a second century bishop. Understanding and wrestling with the meanings of the resurrection. And I call attention particularly to a certain part. So often we go through life thinking, maybe if I'm just good enough, Jesus will forgive me and I might get to sneak into heaven. And Melito doesn't say that. Jesus doesn't say, I forgive you. He says, I am your pardon. I am your pardon. It's not that Jesus forgives. It's that Jesus himself is the forgiveness. Jesus himself is the pardon. The whole Christ event, from his birth that we celebrate at Christmas, to his death that we celebrate on Good Friday, to his resurrection that we celebrate this morning, the whole Christ event is God's work of forgiveness for us. Christ does the work of salvation and does it completely. Our only job is to get on board. It is Christ who brings us life. It is Christ who yanks us from death into life. That is the meaning of this day. That is the meaning of this season. The great 50 days of Easter that the church directs us to celebrate. 50 days of church-sanctioned partying starts today. Because Christ yanks us from death into life. That's what salvation means. That's what atonement means. That's the work that Christ did from his birth to his death through his resurrection. It is I, says the Christ, who destroyed death.
As you are able, please stand and join with me in proclaiming our faith, which covers the earth and spans the ages, by reciting the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father of all, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten. All-prevailing God, your incomparable love is manifest in the resurrection of Christ.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one. Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one. Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
Known by the good works he had done, we pray for the mission and ministry of St. Luke's Church, asking you to call forth new leaders, new workers, and fresh vitality.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
The risen one was known by the commandment to love one another. We pray for all who are sick, suffering, or addicted, especially Lydia, Sophia, Marilyn, RJ, Bill, Tom, Michael, Reed, Maddie, Virginia, Judy, Teresa, and Judy.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the world.
The risen one was known by the sending of the Advocate. We pray for the Spirit to empower the worldwide Anglican Communion. Michael, our presiding bishop. Wayne, our bishop. Randall, our priest. Greg, our deacon. And Michael and Frankie, in formation for holy orders. We also pray for those celebrating birthdays. Matthew, Gretchen, Greg, Huvia, Norma, Jan, Fuller, Carol, Nancy, Sean, Tara. Those celebrating wedding anniversaries, Dennis and Frankie, Joe and Caitlin, Ken and Sarah, Jim and Rosemary, Michael and Jody, John and Susan, Lori and Vince, and those celebrating baptismal anniversaries, Patrick, Belinda, Nora, Laura.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
Speaking in the Spirit's power, living hopefully along your way.
Gracious and loving God, for no merit on our part, you have brought us out of death into life, out of sorrow into joy. Put no end to your gifts. Fulfill your marvelous acts in us and grant to us who have been justified by faith the strength to persevere in that faith. Through Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Also with you.
The Lord redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with mercy and loving kindness.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Yeah. After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me."
Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. and at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to sing.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, Alleluia. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please be seated.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Thank you for being here today, and happy Easter to all of you. Following the liturgy, you are invited to, if you like, go downstairs for coffee and refreshments. If you want adults, you can grab your coffee and refreshments and come back out to watch the kids do their Easter egg hunt. Adults, if you do that, you can help us out by lining up along the sidewalk, and that gives us a bit of a line between the yard and the street, which is a good thing to have. So you're most welcome to get some coffee, get a snack, come out, and watch the children with their Easter egg hunt. Children, you're going to line up back there in the narthex. Miss Allie will be there to help you. You're going to line up back there and then be released by ages to go out and participate in the Easter egg hunt. So this will be lots of fun. And be quick, because it goes fast. That's the thing that amazes me, is how fast it goes. Please do have a happy and healthy Easter day. Please also remember that Easter is not just a day, but a season. 50 days of celebration leading up to Pentecost. And I hope that you will all make an effort to do something special, something joyful every day for the great 50 days of Easter. Pentecost is the festal conclusion of the Easter season, and this year you don't want to miss it because we have lots of baptisms. It will be great fun. So I wish you a very joyful, great 50 days of Easter. Thank you. Rich, thank you, and choir and children's choir. Special thanks also to the Altar Guild that does such beautiful work. And finally, to all the parish staff who worked very, very hard to make Holy Week and Easter happen. Everything from attending to building issues, to making sure word gets out about events, to coaxing the copier to do its job. A lot of work done by all of our staff, and we're very grateful to them as well.
As you are able, please stand.
Now, friends, you know that festival blessings require the loudest possible amen. Okay? So I want you to rouse the neighbors so that they know that Christ is risen. Almighty God, who has redeemed us and made us his children through the resurrection of his Son, our Lord, bestow upon you the riches of his blessing.
Amen.
May God, who through the waters of baptism has raised us from sin into newness of life, make you holy and worthy to be united with Christ forever.
Amen.
May God, who has brought us out of bondage to sin into true and lasting freedom in the Redeemer, bring you to your eternal inheritance.
Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever.
Thank you.
Christ. Alleluia. Alleluia.